Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're getting another Rambo movie in Rambo Last Blood.
Do you think it'll actually be his last blood?
Well, there were two First Bloods.
Or do you think the last drop of his blood will land on the ground and then grow another Rambo?
A separate Rambo,
yeah,
maybe.
Separate Rambo, yeah.
Well, look, it's entirely possible. I thought Rambo 4 was going to be the last one, which was
Me
just
too.
Called Rambo.
I mean, he killed the entire population of Myanmar with a machine gun off the back of a flatbed truck.
There's so other populations to decimate,
I guess that's true, yeah.
Yeah, but considering there's Rambo First Blood and yeah. then Rambo First Blood Part 2,
so, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's Rambo Last Blood Final Drop. Grown a new Rambo part two.
Yes.
And look, it always helps if people could leave a like on this video. We'd love it. Anyways, this week we're going to be looking at the worst Rambo film. I don't know if it's the worst Rambo property because there is that animated series.
But we haven't gotten to that yet.
We haven't gotten to that yet, yeah. Tell you what, if we do Rambo Last Blood part two, he's grown himself again in a test tube. We'll come back to that one.
Absolutely, yep.
But yeah, Rambo 3 is widely considered to be the least popular one, though the most expensive.
Yeah, wasn't it the most expensive film of all
time
at the time?
It was, yeah.
And I looked that up and it was like $60 million and I'm like, that's so quaint.
Yeah.
But imagine being the highest costing film in the world. It's $60 million.
Yeah.
They spend more than that on catering on most of these blockbusters these days.
Well, it seems like a lot of this movie just went into explosions and Stallone because it's not a particularly good looking or special effects heavy movie aside from the practical element of it.
That's true.
So I think it's the star power, which really is driving a lot of this. There's a few things that Stallone requested in his payday, which I'll get to at the end.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Which kind of added to this.
I love a movie star writer. I think they're always excellent.
Some of my favorites.
But Stallone, let me tell Stallone, first of all, this is definitely his oiliest performance, I think.
100%.
Oh my God, he's so oily in this movie. I guess he's supposed to be sweaty, but it's just every part of him's oily.
Yeah,
you know, his body, his hair, he's got oily hair. Look at that shaggy oil, that shaggy oily hair. You know what I mean?
You know what it is? For this movie, everything is kind of bigger. Like, he gets bigger,
yeah.
He's more muscular. I can talk about his training regime. I've got it all here.
He's got even his face is muscular.
Yes.
I'm fascinated by Stallone's face in this era.
Yeah.
It's got, you know how they talk about, like, you know, movie stars, they might have high cheekbones. This guy's got, like, cheekbones coming out of his forehead. He's got cheekbones coming out of his chin, this guy.
I think he's known to have some work done.
Oh.
And I think maybe that has something to do with it. But like I said, like the hair's bigger, the knife's bigger.
The bow and arrow's bigger,
I feel. Bow and arrow's bigger, yeah. He's like the best he's ever been. He's even good at throwing sheep football. You know, he's the best
absolutely.
In the world for
he's
some reason.
He's good at stick fighting all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Do you think, because in the opening sequence, his old colonel comes back to,
yeah.
he needs Rambo.
Yeah.
And so he finds him in Thailand where he's been hiding out since he walked away in Rambo 2.
Yeah.
And Rambo's just in a stick fight with another guy also with sticks. Do you think he was bad initially and then he trained up? Or do you think he just walked in there one day with the champion at stick fight?
Straight up, yeah. Mm. Well, they've kind of juiced him up in all ways leading up to this movie. Because I watched the first and second leading up to this. I'd never seen them.
Mm.
And the first one's this quiet, contemplative kind of movie for a lot of
it. It's a mediation on the pressure of war and it does to people returning from war.
Yeah, like he's considered this drifter. Well, he's a drifter and people hate him because he's come back from Vietnam and he has this speech in the end how people spat on him and called him a baby killer. And it ends not in like a massive gunfight. There is that kind of prior in the movie where he explodes a lot of a small town scene for no reason.
Because no one dies.
No one. I think he kills a cop. with a rock in the helicopter, but it's not intentional.
Yeah.
He's purposefully not killing people. But there is this sense of like, this is a damaged man who's got a lot of problems. And it was criticized at the time for kind of an anticlimactic ending. Mm-hmm. But it seems just from two onwards, not so much four, which kind of dials it back a bit, it's just like, he's fine now and he just loves war and killing people that are bows and arrows.
I mean, two was basically, hey, let's fight the Vietnam War again.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
This time we'll win because Rambo's here.
I mean, he was there the first time.
But he's better now. He's better now. He knows where all the traps are.
This is actually considered the Lawrence of Arabia of Rambo films, I read somewhere as a piece of trivia.
By who? By Sylvester Stallone?
Well, somebody probably said that at the time, but I think it's just because it's in the desert. I think that
Yeah, for sure. There's less greenery than the previous two.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because it's not very well regarded now, I would say. And it wasn't really at the time either. Well, two and three weren't as much as one. But Stallone's even talked about more recently that this one is missing heart. And it is, because he is this indestructible, unstoppable fighting machine. Mm. There's a moment where he gets shot through the leg towards the end, and then you see him get up and put weight on that same leg later fight a tank.
Yeah, he's just with his bare hands.
With his bare hands, yeah. But I never liked the element in these movies, and it's even in the first one of the Colonel's like, you pushed this man too far. You've started a war with a man that you can't win this war with. I'm not here to save Rambo. I'm here to save you. Rambo will kick your ass out of your head. Don't even worry about it. And I think that unstoppable action man is always the least interesting element of these movies.
Oh, absolutely, for me. What you need in these kind of movies, if you've got that, is maybe a compelling villain or like a funny sidekick or something like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like Rambo 3 doesn't really have either of those, to be honest.
No, it doesn't. What it does have, though, is the scene that I went, oh, shit, this is Hot Shots 2.
Yes,
The stick fighting moment, which Charlie Sheen did in Hot Shots 2, and Richard Crenna, who plays the Colonel, he reprises his role in Hot Shots 2 to recruit Charlie Sheen to come back to do more Hot Shots.
That's right.
Yeah, and the kill count's also parodied in that because, you know, he's just mowing down. Because this had the highest kill count of any movie at the time. I've got the number here.
He's got to have killed at least 100 guys. How many guys did he kill?
I believe 221 acts of violence with 108 deaths.
But that does include mean words as well.
No, well, he doesn't. He's a man of few words.
Yeah, but they're all mean. This does have the iconic line where he calls up the main bad guy on the radio, and the bad guy's like, "Who is this?" And he goes, "I'm your worst nightmare." And upon watching this, I'm like, "Oh, that's where that's
from." It's from the ad of Rambo that you saw as a kid for the movie Rambo. Yeah. What I thought was really strange about this as well, the Colonel in the other movies is kind of a person for good in Rambo's life. One and two, he's kind of doing him a favor. You know, he goes to help him out in one. He recruits him to do Vietnam again in two because he knows that there's unfinished business there and he's the best man for the job. Mm-hmm. But three, it's like, you want to do some war? Come and do some war. You know how you're in this peaceful monastery fixing carts and being a good bloke?
And occasionally stick fighting.
Yeah, fuck that. Yeah. Do you want to kill 108 people in a country you've never been to?
Here's some dead kids. Does that motivate you to do some war? Maybe.
And of course, the only thing that gets him back is the Ruskies.
Yeah.
They're in Afghanistan. This was a true event at the time that actually ceased 2 weeks prior to this movie coming out.
Everybody signed a peace treaty and they went to the movie theater and they bought tickets in advance for Rambo 3.
That's exactly it. So this is evil regime in Afghanistan, which is going to come in and sort out, which actually has some repercussions if you look at it historically in the modern day, which we'll get to, because the group that he is with are linked to the Taliban. I can come back to that at the end.
Well, that's funny.
How do you know?
You're not gonna know.
The Russians were the bad guys in the 80s.
Well, they were. Well, that's interesting as well. I think this movie was criticized at the time because in the 80s the Russians were moving away from being the bad guys.
Yes,
but I guess in retrospect, Rambo 3 was ahead of its time because they're back, baby.
They're back, baby. They really are. So I think what tipped these movies over the edge was competition with Arnold, because both of them were notoriously super competitive and hyper aware of the other person's film career and what they were up to.
Their relative level of oiliness.
Exactly. They were tricking each other into movie roles. Arnold tricked him into taking Stop or My Mom Will Shoot because he heard that Arnold wanted to do it.
Oh, I see.
So that's why he did that.
But Arnold didn't want to do it.
He absolutely did not want to do it.
Because it sounds like a bad movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it even carries on over into the musculature of this.
All right.
Because Commando came out post Rambo 2.
Yeah.
And he was always kind of lean. He got super ripped for that. He was apparently, for the earlier Rocky movies, 2 and 3, he was only eating like burnt toast and working out like 5 hours a day and boxing and running and skipping and doing push-ups and all these crazy things. And he was incredibly unhealthy, but he's like, I got to get this physique. I got to look a certain way.
Yeah, right. And then, I got to get those burnt toast abs.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, I think he may have had some help. He claims he's never done any steroids or in this era.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that's true or not. It is possible to get this physique naturally, but it's not if he was just playing fast and loose with it. Like he did some damage to himself by training this way. Now it's all very scientific and you can give anyone abs with the right training regime. Yeah. It's not what it used to be.
Have some human growth toast.
That's
know what
right,
I mean?
Exactly, yeah. But for this,
but yeah, but look, this movie is no Commando.
No.
Let me tell you that. I mean, there is some solid action sequences in this, but there's also some very average action sequences.
It seems like the Commando also is aware of what it is, like the ludicrous nature, where this tries to tell like a more, I don't know, human kind of narrative.
Yeah, more, a more grown up kind flat. Of realistic narrative. Yeah, like this could be, like this is ripped from the headlines kind of.
Yeah.
It's like this was ripped from the headlines, but also what if you got this muscle bound freak in?
Yeah, exactly.
To end the war.
Well, he went from 173 pounds up to 200 pounds, and that's just pure muscle for this movie. Because he's in, the size of this guy in this movie is insane. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it. The hair, the oiliness, all of it. It's just bigger. Like he's riding a horse and throwing a Molotov cocktail and all those kinds of things. And also
he's throwing a horse.
Well, he's definitely throwing a sheep. You mentioned the action side of this, Mason.
Yeah, I did.
It's just not very interesting.
Because
it's running and shooting and someone will run out and shoot at him and he'll stand there, he'll see them, he'll turn, and then you'll shoot them and then you'll keep running.
Yeah, this is the old school action. This is I like to delineate action movies pre and post The Matrix.
Yes.
And this was way pre The Matrix. This is just there's no continuous shots, there's no long sequences of moves that the stars had to learn. It's just one shots of a bad guy firing, a good guy ducking, a good guy standing up and shooting back, a bad guy being shot and falling off a cliff or whatever.
Exactly. Friends of Rambo falling down all around him. Like kids get shot and whatever, but he's fine.
There's an action sequence in a cave where the Russians send in like the Spetsnaz special forces.
Yes.
And only one of them has like night vision goggles for some reason. I guess maybe this was the 80s, so they were really expensive then. It's not like now when you can go down to Aldi and get a pair of
Yeah, exactly. Your phone does it.
Yeah, but like this sequence, it's dark and I guess it's meant to be confusing, but also the whole time you have no idea where anybody's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like it's not even like this is confusing because it's chaotic and it's war. It's just like, is there a main cavern and then there's some gantries?
How
and
far underground is
how
this?
How far, we don't know. Is it really that dark? Is it pitch black? Like
what's the lighting source in
exactly,
any of this?
Exactly, yeah. No idea.
It's funny though because there's a couple of parallels to this and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Like the desert showdown, I think, with the tank and that, and the horse. That's all done in the Last Crusade, but it's done so much better because you know where everybody is. You know who everybody
is.
And the main character is more kind of sympathetic and he gets hurt. Vic Armstrong, who's the stunt double for Harrison Ford, he also was on board for this movie.
Oh.
But there's just something missing here, which Indiana Jones managed to pull
off. Well,
you know
what, number one, I think, is probably a sense of humor.
Yes.
And apparently, I can't remember his name, but somebody will be screaming at us almost instantaneously. The original director on this was going to be the director of Highlander.
Oh, and he was fired.
And he was he was like, I'm going to try to make this funnier.
Mm.
You know, evolve Rambo's character and make him more
like Commando.
Like more, maybe more like Commando, but maybe like just make him evolve him to more of a human.
Yeah.
Or like a character that's maybe softened over the years or something like that. But Stallone was not having that. So Mulcahy was replaced by Peter MacDonald, who's a second unit director. It was his first film as director. He directed the second unit action sequences in Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Right.
But he later said, I tried very hard to change the Rambo character a bit and make him a vulnerable and humorous person. I failed totally.
That's not incorrect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, though, he gets less appealing as a character over these first three movies because you do lose that element of, who is this guy? He's just an unstoppable man who can run anywhere with a machine gun and do anything. It's just like, whatever. But Mason, you said this movie doesn't have a sense of humor, and I disagree. Because Sylvester Stallone had a close call with a spinning helicopter rotor blade.
Oh, that is funny.
In fact, if he had have been struck, it would have almost certainly decapitated him. But Stallone laughed it off at the time with this quip, well, at least I would have saved a fortune on haircuts.
He's done it again.
Why didn't they put that in the movie, Mason?
Well, I mean, pretty
never,
fun.
He hasn't had a haircut.
I was going to say he's got that long, oily, shaggy hair already. So, yeah. There is one great action sequence that I did enjoy. I mean, it's pretty solid. I feel it's maybe still holds up as one of the all-time great bad guy deaths.
Stick fight! No, sorry,
it's the one where he fights the Russian general's henchman for the final time, and it's kind of right. a fist fight kind of grapple on top of a hill, which leads to the bad guy getting Rambo in the death grip and kind of, you know, crushing him in his mighty grip. And then Rambo pulls the pin out of one of the bad guy's hand grenades.
He's down the hole.
He falls down a hole. His neck snaps and then he explodes.
That is good, yeah.
It's a good solid finale for that guy, I think. But what if that hadn't worked? What if you pull the pin on the grenade and the bad guy's like, I'm not going to let you go, actually. We're both going up.
There's another thing I think it does better than two. A lot of the time when he fires like a rocket launcher, you just see him kind of fire it and then you just see the thing explode. But this you actually see it leave the rocket launcher.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, that's where the money went, didn't it? That's what they're doing right there, yeah.
Real black market army weapons.
You know what it is, mate. Anyways, speaking of money, it didn't do super well. It was a $63 million budget and it made $189, which is okay, but it was considered like this kind of just broke even because, again, you got a double marketing and all those kinds of things. But the second one made $300 million off $44 million. So comparison's sake. Aside from Stallone getting like a massive payday for this, he also asked for a Gulfstream jet, which cost $12 million. Which he was given.
So he owned a. He must still own it, surely.
He's probably updated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you think he's getting that HGH into different countries, mate?
He's got a network. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
For those people who don't know, I think it was human growth hormone or something that he brought into Australia at the time of Rambo 4, which I know is just called Rambo, but it's less confusing if I call it Rambo 4.
You can't stay off it for a couple of weeks, mate.
Yeah.
I mean, you finished the movie. It's fine.
No, well, I think it's one of those things where...
I'm not alleging anything, though. Maybe he just likes to look at it.
Maybe just
in a box and he looks at it.
Maybe he was holding it for a friend.
He's holding it for a friend.
But the thing is, a lot of actors do take this supplement or whatever you want to call it, this steroid. It's not that dangerous or uncommon. Mm-hmm. They reckon in a few years it's going to be one of those things that everybody's on. If you watch a Joe Rogan podcast, he brings it up at least 4 to 7 times.
Oh, yeah.
An episode.
Because his memory's failing, is that why?
It's sharper than ever, mate. With all these sustenance and things like that. I think it's very much like a vanity project, this one.
Yeah.
Like, I like a lot of Stallone's work, but there was a period when it was just like this and Cobra and just stuff where it's like, I see what you're doing, but these aren't super compelling characters.
For sure, yeah. Give us a little vulnerability. Give us a sense of humor. Yeah. Give us Tango and Cash.
Well, I think even if you look at Demolition Man, it's a ridiculous movie, but there is a sense of fun to it.
For sure,
I think that kind of world holds up more than this, for example. We should do Demolition Man.
Absolutely, we should do Demolition Man.
Anyways, in relation to the freedom fighters that Stallone is running around with, and it says at the end, you know, dedicated to the people of Afghanistan and that. Mm-hmm. So, look, they're not strictly Taliban. So what happened as a result of this, right?
That's what they changed. They changed the title sequence at the end on the Blu-ray version, where it just, look, they're not strictly Taliban, all right?
So they're basically,
how are we supposed to know?
Their name translates to Warriors of God, and they're made up of a whole lot of different factions, which then split off. And the Taliban actually formed properly in like the mid-90s. Was it 94? Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I mean, exactly. It's chaos over there.
Exactly.
You know, I mean?
And this was also, again, during the Soviet occupation. And the people of Afghanistan, as probably people know, had the backing of the CIA for the common enemy that was the Russians at the time. They weren't doing out-and-out conflict. It was people backing different people to fight this war.
Yeah.
Without getting into the weeds of it. And
because we don't know anything about the weeds of it.
We don't know that much about it. But yeah, it's more complicated than...
Yeah.
He's just fighting with the Taliban.
Exactly.
They didn't all become the Taliban, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, only the ones Rambo left behind. They became the Taliban, specifically. Thanks, Rambo.
Thanks, Rambo. Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. We do this every week, believe it or not, every Tuesday. If you want to subscribe, please do so.
Every week we review a movie and we support a different terrorist group.
We set
up a GoFundMe.
You've just demonetized this video.
Oh, no.
But look, if you do have thoughts on, like, what's your favourite Rambo movie or what you want to see next on Caravan of Garbage.
Yeah, should they do a Rambo 6?
Last Blood Part 2?
Yes.
Goes out of a drop of blood or whatever.
That's right. Mm, yeah.
But we'll do anything. We'll do a comic, a movie, a TV show, a video game. Let us know.
A laser disc.
Mm-hmm. And just this Monday past, we also have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. We talked about the filmography of Stallone. The hits, the misses. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Like, we're kind of rubbish this movie and some of his other works, but he's done a lot of great stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting discussion, which people can come along for.
He's a real cinematic dynamo.
And he keeps going.
And he's writing and he's acting and he's doing various supplements.
He's got weird, big, veiny forearms and hands.
Oh my God, it's insane. How does he pick up a pen?
He has a giant keyboard like the one from Big.
Oh, nice.
But, you know, but like, no, it's like from the TV show Amazing. There's a very specific reference that people can, Australian reference. Don't even worry about it, anybody. Anyways, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Thanks for sticking around.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.